Every single creator goes through this process where they realize that as much fun as YouTube is, at the end of the day, it is a business. It has business expenses. And like every good business, it also needs to generate great income too. So today, let's dive into three various business opportunities that you can do on your channel. And no, none of them include YouTube ads. If you want to know how to monetize your channel, then this is the episode for you. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I'm a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. So I'm super excited to chat with today's guest. Her name is Marlene McCowan, and she runs an amazing channel. It's actually a bird channel. Yes, those certainly exist, and her channel is pretty darn awesome. It has around 200,000 subscribers, but Marlene is super smart. Not only has she monetized her channel with good old YouTube AdSense, but she has created an amazing community and is able to create three various sources of income just by serving her community. And today, she's going to be sharing all her tips and tricks with us, so perhaps some ideas will flow for our own channels. Marlene, welcome to Tube Talk.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Let's do this. So, Marlene, people who don't know your channel, give us a quick overview about your channel, about you. Who is Marlene in a tweet?
I am somebody who's very passionate about parrots and how they live. So most people know me as the person that started the Engage Not Caged movement, which is engaging with your birds and not leaving them in cages all day. Just want to bring that kind of awareness to the world by, one, educating. So we have a lot of educational shows on the channel, but also by entertaining and just really showing people what it looks like to live with birds.
Okay. And what kind of content do you do? You said entertainment as well as educational. Give us like a typical characters that live on your channels.
Okay. So there definitely is like the official structured, like this is what we're going to learn today type episode. We do have that, and that's how I started. But it has since moved into more of a reality show where everybody on it is just a character. You know, I have a film background, so I really just know how to show what is entertaining and to pick up the camera when I know how somebody's going to react. And so we have a lot of human characters and a lot of bird characters. And each parrot just really, and this is real serious, like they just have so much personality. We have the bird that won't go to sleep unless he watches Empire at night and we have to turn on the television. You know, we have the drama queen, my new baby, that she like sleeps in my bed with me at night, you know, until like I put her in the cage next to me. Like just every single one of them have this character and this personality that I've been kind of, you know, showing, growing and creating characters for them also in like a cartoon form, you know?
Love it. So what made you start a YouTube channel?
My dad used to say to me, you're going to all these film festivals and people go, you win award and people clap for you and nobody sees the film. Why don't you go on YouTube? And I was like, yeah, like no serious actress goes on YouTube, you know?
Right.
And so that kind of stuck in my head though. I'm like, he's kind of right. We go from festival to festival and then like, who gets to see our film in the world? We get that one moment of like, oh, we won an award, but it's over. So I kind of had that in my head. And later when my bird died, I was very upset. And I thought to myself, I got to do something. And not just in the name of the bird, but to help bird people everywhere. I mean, I really didn't take it seriously because I thought in my head, I'm so focused on acting and you have auditions all day and you have all this stuff to do, you know?
Okay. So life was going on and YouTube was just like a thing that you did when you had a moment or some moment of inspiration.
Yeah. And okay. My mom used to say, like, I think one day she came and stayed here and she's like, you need to do those YouTube videos. I'm going to make sure you do. And I think she made me set up a camera
Wow.
In one of my first like group of YouTube videos, and I came down and put on a new outfit, and like, so she should really get the credit for that, because, and still after that, I didn't post for a year, but at least I had six go up.
But yeah, it's normally the other way around. We hear all these stories of the parents telling the kids, like, don't do YouTube, get a real job, focus on a real career. And here we have the opposite. That seems to have paid out. So thanks, Mom.
Yeah, definitely. I think they were, they already did the whole, they wasted, you know, their whole life and mine trying to convince me out of acting. Not so much my mom, but my dad.
Right.
And so I think they were already over it by that point. Once my dad saw me make my first film, he had a new respect. He was like, now this is what I like to see. You're making it, you're not waiting for people. So, I mean, like, they already knew, like, they gave up on me. They were like, this is the artist. This is what's going to happen.
This is it, whether we like it or not, but at least we can see something. You know, and that's what one thing about YouTube is, that you get your control back. You're not waiting for someone's audition. You're not waiting to be approved. You're not waiting to be called on set. You're not waiting for anybody else's schedule, except for your own. If you want to make a go of it, you make your own schedule and you really take back control. So we do see that a lot, and that's the power that YouTube has given us. So as we kind of looking at your channel, it's sitting at the moment around 200,000 subscribers, beautiful number. Was there one video that really kind of blew up the channel and got you all these subscribers and views, or was it just a combination of lots of little videos and together they make up the channel?
So not really. I never really had that moment where I felt like I blew up in subscribers, especially not in the beginning of the journey. And if I did, I sure as heck didn't notice. But it was never about the numbers for me, because every time when anyone would ask me, I was always proud. So like, if someone was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing YouTube. I have 500 subscribers. Like, I was just proud. And like, you know, because 500 people, I think I saw it in, you know, a video somewhere, that's like 500 people that showed up to hear you talk. Imagine if you were in a room physically full of people.
Absolutely.
So I think you always have to value the number that you have. I remember hitting 10,000. The numbers can give you a lot of satisfaction, like you're so close to a number, you want to hit it, especially 100,000 when you're going to get the plaque. But I had a few moments later on, like after 100,000 or so, that like the channel had a video that really made it pop. And you think you want that, but the amount of anxiety that can cause is unforeseen. Because when a channel is popping, I make my videos saying, oh, this is my audience, this is what I want to share with you. But when new people come on and they don't know the story, and they're like, why is this bird plucked? Are you an abuser? Like, it just, it's like really insane. Like, you have to realize that they don't know what they're talking about. Back to like a video blowing up, I have had some videos bring in a lot. I mean, there was one video that did bring in something like 30,000 subscribers. It was my bird going on a date with another bird. And he's just funny. And this bird was cute. And we put like multicam on this video for some reason. I put like three angles of the cameras. And so it really did blow up, but I think I was getting 1,000 subscribers a day, and I was very excited, but I want all my subscribers to have value. So it's not just like I want 1,000,000 subscribers and they don't even know what I'm doing and they can attack me, because there are channels that grow because their followers are haters.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a very good point. It's the skin that you got to have and develop is got to be a very thick skin for YouTube, because anybody can leave a comment on anybody's channel. Even if they have never watched your videos, you get a thumbs down before the video even reaches a couple of seconds after it launches. And those things really affect you and really have an impact. Now, you tend to forget about the hundreds of comments which love you, but you focus on the one idiot that comes through with some weird anonymous egg kind of avatar, hasn't made anything in their lives, and basically they have an opinion on something that you've created. And it's a personal attack, because at the end of the day, the videos are still your production. So I agree. I think we do take a lot of these things to heart. And regardless of how big or small you are, a negative comment can absolutely just change your mood for the rest of the day, unless you learn how to deal with it. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think it's, again, it's not something that's talked about, but something that's very, very, very important to understand.
I make videos that I enjoy. I'm like, I want to share this with you. And I feel like I do know my audience a lot. A lot of people don't know that. I send out a lot of the stuff myself. I like, you know, when the box, when we do the boxes, I go through all the labels and I separate them. So I know people's names, you know, it feels like I know who's in Patreon. Like, I just feel like I know the audience. And even if you can only know a small amount of your audience, that's always who you're giving videos to.
Right. Let's talk about the business side of the channel. So you have your YouTube channel, you get to 200,000 subscribers, you're getting AdSense every month, right? Okay. What else are you doing? Because we all know that AdSense is just one source of revenue. It goes up, it goes down. You know, the seasons change. COVID happens. Budgets expire. What else have you got going on besides just focusing on AdSense?
Well, we have our feathered fun boxes. It's similar to like a bark box, but for parrots.
Okay. So explain what that means.
So it's a subscription box that comes to your house monthly. And it's got parrot toys for your birds. But ours is very different because in the bird world, it's a lot of boxes that go out are just kind of like, okay, here's a few toys. And, you know, and it's a great idea. Like, no matter whose boxes go out, I always think it's a great thing for your bird. But what I wanted to do was I always wanted to bring a little bit of that fantasy to everything, you know, a little bit of like when you're a kid and there's characters. So we put something in there for you, the buyer. So like this month in our Cody boxes, because every box is themed, not only is it themed, but it's themed by also which bird is going to represent the box. So this month, my African gray Cody represents the box because Cody has laid an egg and it's Mother's Day, but she's also very fierce and protective. So the character that we designed for her is a female ninja. And so there's that cartoon of Cody. And when you open the box, you find out that, that there's a letter from me, first of all, explaining a little bit of the theme. And then there's the sticker of Cody. And that's when you'll find out that Cody is the bird representing the box. And then the theme is a picnic. So all the toys in there either match Cody, something Cody would like to play with, or a picnic. So that's basically how they go out. But there was also a face mask in there with the Cody design on it. Like we got handmade face masks for everyone to wear because it was timely. And also, usually we have like stickers, magnets, pin, and a charm in there, but the magnet company kind of changed their business due to COVID, so we didn't have access to it. So we had to start thinking like, what else are we going to put? And so we put the masks, and we usually over order by about like 20 boxes because you still have like time. We almost doubled our boxes by like 36 or 40% this month.
Wow.
And mostly it all comes from when I was a kid and there was nothing for parrot lovers. You know, you couldn't even find like a bird on a pillow. So I really just wanted the people that love birds to feel special too.
And you're engaging with your community. They're going to be the first people to go after it. They want it. You don't have to sell it because they genuinely want it. You genuinely want to connect with them. That's a great business model. So I love that box's idea. Are there any red flags or any positive tips that you can give us?
Yeah, I have a really good tip that I learned. I learned it from my own mistake.
Best tip.
Yeah. When we started the boxes, we only had so much revenue to invest in, right? So I only shut the boxes down at like 100 boxes. Okay. So I said to everyone, hey, here's a big announcement. But you can only get 100 boxes. So like once we hit 100, we're shutting it down. I think that meant like 50 small and 50 large available. And while that would seem amazing because there's the hype and, you know, people want to get in, I think about 5,000 to 8,000 people viewed the site that day off that video I made of that reveal. Imagine if we had had it open and prepared ourselves more, then we would have had a lot more buyers, or it would have been available to a lot more people right off the bat.
Okay.
Now, on some level, maybe we wouldn't have been able to handle that, so it's good. But I don't really see so much value in the hype of not being able to get something.
Got it.
There is a little bit of value in it. There honestly yes. is, because, but I think when you drop your big, big promo, the more people you can make it available to have and have that experience, the better, because there will be a lot of people that will be disappointed. And I don't like the feeling of people being disappointed, even if that means there's hype around my product. I feel like I want to cater to, you know?
Got it. Makes sense. Look, scarcity does work. So it's a good marketing tool, and you say, I've only got X number, first come, first serve. Sorry to disappoint the people who don't get it. So there is some value in that. And maybe it wasn't a bad thing. Maybe you were able to handle every single order properly. You're able to do your learnings on a smaller scale so that you can ramp it up and ramp it up. Did you know that this was going to be a seller, that people are going to love this and want this? Did you have a feel? Did you do some research? Like, how do I know that it's time for me to maybe try this out?
I've been in this world of birds for so long that I know what I wish I had.
Mm.
And on this side of it, it's like, it is a luxury item. The way we present it, like, can you buy maybe the three toys individually from our site? Yes, but there's an experience that comes with it where you wouldn't be able to get the masks on our site in that mm-hmm. design. You wouldn't be able to get the charms. Like, I want bird lovers to feel so special that if you're going to go out and care about your birds so much the way the world cares about dogs, and the way my sister felt about her bark box coming, and the way we would look forward to the theme, I didn't want to rob anyone of that. I just really thought that kind of passion and personal touch is missing. I send out like a personal letter that I write with it. Why? I sit down, I play music, and really think what I want them to know. People ask me that about my channel too. They're like, how did you know your channel would take off? And I'm like, I don't know, but I just expected it to. Like, I don't.
It sounds like you do know. Like, you know, when you say instinctively, here's what I'm hearing is that you knew that there's a gap because you felt that gap for mm-hmm. yourself. And by filling that gap, because that's the experience you would have liked to have had if it was available, and you just couldn't find it anywhere else. And if you're feeling it, well, all the other bird lovers are going to feel that as well. So you might say that, you know, I'm kind of looking at it from that point of view. You felt it, you felt the gap, you wanted to fill the gap, and you wanted to fill the gap in such a way that if you had been on the receiving end, you would have had the opportunity to buy this, you would have jumped at it instantly because finally someone understands me. And when you put it that way, it makes complete sense. So I think for other people who are thinking of doing something on their channels, maybe with a subscription service, if you know for a fact that this is something that's missing out there, something that you yourself feel that you would have loved to have, odds are pretty darn good that lots of people are sitting at home with that same feeling. And if you just make it available and put as much time and effort as Marlene is doing into her boxes, enough passion, that will translate, people will buy it. So if we're changing gears slightly, you don't just do the boxes, you've got other stuff. You do Patreon as well. What do you offer your members on Patreon?
So on Patreon, we have different tiers. I call them my Flighters Club. And I really thought about Patreon before I did it and how I wanted to present it, because there's always people that reach out to me and say, I saw that you rescued a new bird. Can I send you money? And I always say, no, I'm good. It was my responsibility, you know? And so I specifically, even though my birds are rescues, except for like a few, they're all rescues and rehomes, except for my Brando and stuff. I really didn't want to make it about, oh, support me and my work rescuing birds, because I'm not, you know, a nonprofit. That's not officially what I do. And I really wanted to make it around support me making videos, because I felt like that was the most honest thing that I could do. Like, if you like my content and you want to know what I'm doing before anyone else, if you want to get discount codes for the store, if you want to be involved in making choices on colors of things, if you want exclusive videos or Zooms, I really wanted them to understand that that is what I'm able to honestly offer.
Okay, so everything has a purpose. Everything has a goal. Those are great tips, like Zoom calls, letting them make decisions or helping in the decisions. Do I go with A or do I go with B? So things like that, it's bringing them closer. And when they're part of that journey, they're going to be part of the solution and ultimately help you achieve the end result. So great.
They are, patrons are very valuable because you have a secret community that you can share anything with. Like, there's always decisions like, hey, do you like this version or that version? And you're like, I don't know who to ask. What will my fans like? But when you ask your patrons, they're honest. They're there. They're happy to support you. They want you to do well. Mm. And like, we had these masks come out in black. And then after that, one of my patrons said, you know, I really did like the purple. I usually like what you make, but I wish you would have chosen purple. So I said, in the next batch, we need at least like a few purple just so I can make that available to her, because, you know, there is some value in, you know, their opinions.
Absolutely. Well, it's your customer. Your customer is telling you what they want. If you can supply your customer with what they want, ultimately, it's a lot easier. They're going to buy it. You keep mentioning the store and the website. So this is yet another angle. So we have the boxes, we've got Patreon, and now you have an online store. What's in there?
So the online store was a lot about merchandise, you know, shirts and hoodies and all that kind of stuff. Most bird shirts are like, you go to Cabo and they throw a few parrots on a regular oversized print. And I wasn't into that. So I really just created stuff that's like cool, that everyone feels good in. And there's obviously Teespring, and I had my experience with Rumble and my design got stolen and then people could print it anywhere. But Teespring is like, I think I had some stuff there. Like, I put a logo on a phone case or something, and someone wrote in, and they probably don't know that I saw this, and I tried to respond to them, but it was in like the hidden comments, and then I accepted it and then I lost it. And they said the phone case was bad quality, and I'm like, okay, never again. Like, and someone else told me the shirt they ordered smelled weird, and I'm like, you know what? I need to see like how these things look and what they look like. I really want my shirts to be something that I've felt and I've touched, you know?
Right. Yes.
I wanted our shirts to be something that when you put it on, you know it has a good fit, and you know that I myself have felt it, wear it, love it. And otherwise, I just can't promote anything I didn't see or touch or that I'm not passionate about, because I just want our branding to be there. So that's how the store started. But when we started the boxes, we had overstock technically, you know, like I would overbuy just in case. And so I was like, let's put these things up on the store. And when we put them up on the store, it kind of created a store for us. And, you know, everything happens in its time, I guess. And there's a lot of value to fans and subscribers. We now have like our own blend of tea, and we have plushies and all these things, and the masks, they came from people sending me things. So for example, somebody sent me a sample of their tea.
Oh, wow.
And wrote me a beautiful letter, and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, can I call you? And I called her, and I'm like, can you make this in my branding? Like, you know, and I said, I can guarantee that, like, I can at least order from you, you know, like I can order 100 at a time or whatever. So, you know, I like to, my passion has always been as an artist, you know, that was struggling to be able to give other independent people a venue. So someone else sent me charms in the beginning as a thank you. And I'm like, can you make more of these? Because I will put them in the boxes and I'll continuously buy from you month after month. And then someone brought me a plushie as a present. And then they were like, at a meet and greet, and they were like, we made this. And I'm like, wait a minute, you made this? And I'm like, can we have a conversation in the corner real quick? I'm like, can you mass produce this in it, like, but in my bird? And, you know, profit from it, and also in a way that I can sell it at a good price that like my people can afford it, because it's all handmade, you know.
Right, absolutely.
And they're like, I think we can. And they made me plushies, and they're the same people that I went to for the mask. I saw them put masks online, and I'm like, whoa, can you make me masks? You know, you just gotta jump in. And so I think like you gotta give the viewers value, and like I love supporting all of their arts because they're creators too, you know?
Well, when you support your community, they support you in turn. It just, it's a lovely, lovely relationship. And that's the ideal relationship that you want to have.
If someone sends you stuff, look at it as an opportunity. Like, hey, do I like this? Would I be able to work with them? Because they're sending it to you because they want to promote, they want to build their business. And if you can help them in any way, even if you put your own branding on it, right, they're executing products. Like we have a bird food line too. And at first, you know, I was like, hey, like we want to make our own brand, and the company essentially, their name is on it too, but they would have to, you know, that product wouldn't be in their name. But after a while, they're like, wait a minute, we're a manufacturer. We just want to move product. That's exactly our sole job. We don't have to be like the name of everything. And that was, and inadvertently it promoted their name anyway as well.
I love all of this. This makes complete sense. So you notice, we didn't speak about AdSense. So the fact that Marlene is a creator, beautiful. Have an audience, that's great. But look at all these various revenue streams that are coming in just because you understand your community and you're able to fill those gaps wherever you happen to be going. People understand that that's the value that you bring them. I love it. I think it's a great, great story. And a lot of people are actually waiting. They're waiting to get to a million subscribers, or they're waiting to get to some phantom number where they think this is now the opportunity to go out and sell. Do you think that creators, regardless of size, as long as they have a community, can already address some of those needs and make it a business?
Yeah, I think, you know, I actually watched a lot of like you guys, like on YouTube, that talk about how to build a business. I love channels like yours. I think it's channels like yours and some others that have really, I didn't have much time, so I'd watch in the shower how to build up the business. And I think a lot of you talk about the power of like 1,000 buyers, you know, and there's something to be said for that, because universally, if you can grasp just one person liking your item, or two or three, it will be easier for you to mentally imagine 10 and mentally imagine 20. You know, and I didn't make money for a very long time just because, you know, I was like doing the acting thing. I was completely supported pretty much by George. He believed in everything I always said I was going to do. But, you know, he used to tell me, like, if you could just make a little bit of money, you'll be able to envision yourself with more. Like, I literally thought I had like some sort of artist curse where it's not in my, you know,
right.
And because I hate selling, like I don't want people to feel like I have, you know, like I'm making something off of it. So I have to do everything from the genuine passion of, I love this, I want you to have it too. Cause my dad used to say, you could sell anything to anyone. And I'm like, yeah, unless I'm paid to do so, you know?
Yes.
Like, but then I can't do it. But if I, what I learned is through the audience, well, they'll say things like, hey, I didn't know you had that, and now I missed it. And that gave me power to go, wait a minute, this isn't about me. This is about, I really don't want you to miss it. Like, I really feel sad that you know, if I was too quiet, like same with the boxes I just learned, like I've been quiet about them and only gaining sales based off of, you know, whatever came in. But there were people on my own page going, hey, does anyone know where I could find a subscription box? And an argument ended up on my group where people are like, are you kidding me? Like, you're in the group of the person that has subscription box. She's like, I didn't know. Like, oh my God. And, you know, they get in their own arguments. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is all my fault. Like, they want to know where this stuff exists, just absolutely. Like I did, you know? Like, I don't need to feel bad about letting them know. They want to be included too, you know? And if it comes from there, then I can do it.
So I love your message. I love the way that you're doing things. I love your approach to this. Where can they find you?
They can find my YouTube channel at Marlene McCohen. That's the name of the channel. Same all around, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, my handle at Marlene McCohen just works everywhere. But if you want to check out our website for our online store, it's parrotstation.com and the boxes are featheredfunbox.com. And if you need help with your birds, I would recommend joining our Facebook group, Parrot Station, where there's a lot of people readily available to give advice or just help, or, you know, like a parent, you know,
just chat, just hang out and chat.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. So we're going to have all those links in the description. We'll have all those in the podcast show notes. So in case you missed anything, don't worry. We got you. Marlene, thank you very much for sharing your time and your knowledge and your business strategies and your growth. It's been amazing. Really appreciate it. I think lots of people can really take a lot of value from this.
Thank you so much.
And for the rest of you guys still hanging out here with us, don't forget to hit that subscribe button in your favorite podcast application. Don't forget to share this episode with at least one other creator, perhaps struggling, perhaps looking for alternative incomes, looking for some inspiration. This will absolutely do that trick for them. Share this episode and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Tube Talk. Thanks for hanging out.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.